One last hour. Let's do this. Let's get in here. 1-800-636-8686. I mean, like, one last hour, but only two segments for you to try to make it in, because I've got Dana White to close the show. Dana White's coming up at 40 past. The show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We talked NBA draft. I had the news last hour. A Woj bomb. Klay Thompson is going to miss the year. He has a torn Achilles, which is just terrible news, as I mentioned. He was already coming off that torn ACL. He'd made it all the way back. He missed last season. Rehab for an entire year. Was playing in a pickup game in downtown LA. Came down. Felt pain in his calf. Knew there was something wrong. And they went through the necessary tests. And he suffered another significant injury, more significant than the other, which he came all the way back from. So a devastating blow to Golden State, to the NBA. I'm going to say to all of us, man, this guy's just one of the best pure shooters I've ever seen. Legendary player, but an even more legendary personality. He is just so good for the NBA. So good for the world. Man, I love Klay Thompson. So I hate to see that. That is just a terrible, terrible break. We discussed that. We talked about Joe Judge firing his offensive line coach. And the first report was there was a fist fight. And the Judge got the worst of that fist fight. So he immediately fired his line coach. And the line had played pretty well of late. As I mentioned, they had rushed for over 150 yards in each of the last three games. So something happened. The question is whether that something was a fist meeting his face. The Giants quickly denied that. They said that's not what happened, that there was a verbal confrontation. What, coaches get into fights verbally? They argue with each other? Do guys get fired? I generally, no. If a coach punches another coach in the face, will he get fired? Sometimes, no. If a coach punches the head coach in the face, does he get fired? Pretty much every time. Almost every time. Except the Giants are quick to say that's not what happened. Of course. What are they going to say? You have to deny that. What says dysfunctional, out of control, and in way over your head more than the head coach getting into a fist fight with an assistant? But again, they're denying it. Interesting day in New York. Like on a day where the Giants coaching staff may or may not have given each other the hands. The Knicks picked 8th in the NBA draft. It was neither one of those stories that got top billing in the Big Apple rags this morning. Nope. Instead of that, and those are two pretty big stories. Instead of that, it was a 38-year-old serial juicer on a $240 million contract who just lit whatever was left of his Hall of Fame chances on fire. That and potentially the biggest pile of forfeited cash ever. In baseball, Robbie Cano, don't you know?
Robbie Cano, not don't you know?
Robbie Cano, not don't you know? For the second time in two calendar years, Mets second baseman Robbie Cano, not don't you know?
Robbie Cano, not don't you know?
Popped positive for the juice. And since he is a repeat offender, he just earned himself a suspension for an entire season and a year's worth of pay right down the garbage disposal. Man, like if my guy is trying to do his best Alex Rodriguez impression, he stuck the holy hell out of that landing. Think about the similarities. Couple of dudes who both played infield, hit bombs on massive contracts with the AL West and the New York Yankees. Headed to Cooperstown, allegedly, deciding to wreck it all and get caught multiple times, earn 162-game suspensions, and lose over 20 mil each. Over 20 mil, respectively. So, yes, if Robbie Cano, not don't you know, was looking to take the A-fraud route, he nailed it in lockstep. And that route most assuredly does not end up in upstate New York with your plaque on the wall. It ends up in disgrace. The fallout from Bob Cano's second bomb test is pretty amazing. Like, there's the fact that this dude threw out every predictable and lame and pathetic excuse back in 2018 when he got caught the first time. you know, all the go-tos. Like, I've got no idea how that juice jumped into my system. I would never disrespect the game that has done so much for me and that I love so much. Well, he accepts his punishment. He maintains his innocence. You know, that whole thing. Blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The statement sucked then, and it's even worse now that he got caught hammering the spike yet again. Because if you've been caught twice, that means you've been taking it way more than twice. Like, that's a fact. I mean, do we even need empirical evidence on that? Like, do we even need proof? Do we even need pics or it didn't happen? I mean, what's more likely? That this guy juiced twice and got caught both times? When the dirty guys, the guys who cheat, are always a step ahead of the guys that are trying to run them down. We also know that to be true. That's a fact. So you're going to tell me that this guy got caught twice and only did it twice? Come on. Or that he did it way more than that, but just got caught twice. This dude's entire career is now a giant question mark. This is what happens when you get nailed on multiple occasions. Like, even if you get nailed once, it's a giant question mark because we don't know when you started. We don't know how long you've been doing it. We just know you got caught. But what if you get caught twice? Then you're a serial juicer, a serial cheater. Then you've been caught multiple times. And there's more. You know what he got nailed for? Stanozolol. Sorry, I couldn't quite hear you. Could you please remember? No, Siri. Stanozolol. That's the same PED that Ben Johnson got whacked for back in 88. My man went vintage juice, vintage roid. I'll never forget, I had an interview in the early 90s on my ESPN2 show with Ben Johnson, where I tried to talk to him about cheating, about Stanozolol. Man, that was like the most awkward, cringy interview. And not only that, he was booked conditionally. Like, he was opening up a restaurant. And we had this whole thing about, like, hey, Ben, because back then, that was like the biggest cheating scandal ever. Anyway, maybe Robinson Cano thought, if I find a drug from back in the day, maybe they no longer test for that. Maybe that I'm going to throw it back so far that nobody will know or care about the rocket juice that Ben Johnson was running on back in the day. Again, you always hear about these guys trying to be one step ahead of the testing. My man Bob Cano is throwing it back to 88. Vintage roids. Like, where do you get that? Did he have to go to a garage sale? Did he have to go to a thrift store to find that stuff? Was he digging through the bargain juice bins? Did he leave his phone number at the front telling the cashier that, hey, listen, if you get any Stanozolol, if you get any of that stuff, can you give me a call? If you can find any of that stuff, can you give me a call? Did he go to eBay to find that? You know, there's always that one person who's holding on to that iPhone 1. You know, that BlackBerry when it first dropped. That little vial of Stanozolol. What's even more damning to this guy's legacy, besides the fact that he's a serial drug cheat who uses retro roids, is that the Mets may have actually caught a break here. The Mets may actually be happy about it. Sure, they're going to get dragged, and the tabloids and the rags will do what they do, but they don't really care. They may look at this as a really good thing. I mean, yeah, the guy had a decent 2020, but it was a 60-game season. And this guy has been made of glass since coming over from the Mariners. Half a dozen stints on the injured list, over 50 games missed. And did I mention he's 38 and really expensive? It might not be so good without the use of his roids. So now the Mets have 24 mil off the books for 21, and they need a second baseman. Enter free agent infielder, three-time All-Star, reigning batting champ, DJ LeMahieu. Hot damn, this is getting interesting. The Wilpons are gone. Cano is gone for at least a year. Steve Cohen is in. And the Mets have more money than ever before because they got a really rich new owner and they got 24 mil off the books from Bob Cano. Could the Mets sign LeMahieu away from the Yankees? I don't know. It's fun to talk about. And what a sea change that would be. Imagine if Cohen backs up the Brinks truck and gets DJ to leave the Bronx for Queens. I mean, that could happen. All thanks to Bobby Cano. Not don't you know.
Throwing back to 88
and taking some classic vintage Boroids. I wonder if this guy was thinking, hey, man, I've seen all these YouTube videos of Ben Johnson. Man, my man was fast. My man ran the 100 meters like in 4 seconds. I wonder what that could do for me. I wonder. I'd love to know where he found those roids. Stanizolo throwing it back. I wonder if he went online and went and typed in Ask Jeeves. Ask Jeeves. Was that your search engine, Bob? The Mets. The only way the Mets can make a good move or have something good happen is if one of their guys pops positive for roids. That's unbelievable. It's like going on a hike and your partner points down at your shoe. And you're like, ah, bleep, worst day ever. But if you're the Mets, you're like, oh, yeah, I stepped in dog crap. Nice. Things are looking up.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I stepped in dog crap. Yeah, it's a good thing. That's a good day. Things are getting right. Yeah, look, I don't know what the sticker price is on these things. I don't know what it would take. I just know they have $24 million more today than they had yesterday. I guarantee the Mets are like one of the only franchises where that'd be considered a good day and a good thing. 1-800-636-8686. I don't know, man. Cano probably thought, man, I'm going to go old school. I think I'm going to get some Andro. Anybody got any Andro lying around? I don't know. Maybe pay homage to Andy Pettit. Get some HGH. Maybe throw it back to the Baroid. A tip of the hat to Baroid. Anybody got any cream? Anybody got any clear? Anybody want to rub any cream or clear on me? Anybody got any Stanizolo lying around? That was the matter with you, Bob. I love these guys that have got like literally the stones to get caught, man, and just do it again. Like, wouldn't you be scared straight? No, because you're about that life. Because you're about that life and the risk. And how about this? The risk is always greater than the reward. How the hell did you think he got that $240 million contract? This is why these guys do this, because it pays. It's worth the risk. Like, I normally say, I hope that was worth it, and I know it wasn't. I guarantee it is to this guy, because the money's already in the bank. When we come back, phone lines are open still. I've got Dana White still ahead. And definitely when we come back, I want to get into tonight's game. Tonight's game is great. Arizona and Seattle. Kyler v. Russ. Hell yeah. Thursday night matchup. Do you need replacement parts and tools for your repair or your maintenance or your restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. So when it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. See their selection. The professional parts people will help you find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. So if your battery does need to be replaced, their professional parts people can help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Like Superstart batteries, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a Superstart battery. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
For all the ones who get it done, there's Grainger offering supplies and solutions for every industry. To help keep your facility safe and your people even safer, you want to call or click Grainger.com. /safety, or just stop on by. Call, click, Grainger.com/safety, or just stop by. Drew in West LA just will not stop. This time he says, Rob Cano got his juice from Gold's Gym. That's actually pretty good. That's better. I'll allow that. Chris in Sumner tweets, don't forget about deer antler spray. That's strong. Deer antler spray is good. Rome Slice, an iPhone 1. Must be nice. Regards, somebody picking up the landline and getting booted off of AOL.
You've got mail.
Geoff and Lincoln. Romy, I commend Bob Myers for not hiding his emotions. Regards, crying Jeff in San Antonio, tearing up when his wife goes out to dinner with a male friend from college. Ashley in Nebraska. War Lady Clones. That's
War Lady Clones.
Blooded Ashley. Crying Jeff in San Antonio, tearing up when his wife goes out to dinner with a male friend, she's got in quotes.
War me and my fiance, and War Jordan.
Remember, Jeff in San Antonio, Ward his fiance. He, if I recall, called himself a badass because he got married. If I'm also not mistaken, didn't he ask me to be his best man? And if I'm not mistaken, did he or did he not call me from the delivery room when his wife had a C-section?
I am definitely a badass. I've got a kid, so I mean, that's proof that I am a badass right there.
My bad. I said he was a badass because he got married. That's not what he said. He said he's a badass. He states it. And then he justifies it by saying, I've got a kid. That makes me a badass. Well, then that makes Alvin DeLauro Anderson Silva. He's got more kids than anybody. That proves I'm a badass. I got a kid. What else?
I am definitely
a badass. He started a Baby Jordan line and said that he had a meeting with Jordan's people, or was efforting a meeting with Jordan's people, because he started a Baby Jordan line. You think Mike Jordan needed Jeff in San Antonio to start a Baby Jordan line? I'm guessing Mike could have done that himself, if that's what Mike wanted to do. Anyway, that's who Ashley's talking about. War Lady Clones.
War Lady Clones.
All right, so how do you celebrate one of the greatest endings to a game in NFL history? Well, if you're Blake Shelton, you ice the scrote.
Ice.
The scrote.
Ice.
And you change the drawers. I'm only responding to his tweet. How do you chase one of the greatest endings to an NFL game ever? Well, if you're Blake Shelton, you ice the scrote.
Ice.
The scrote.
Ice.
And change the drawers. But if you're the Arizona Cardinals, you follow that Kyler to D-Hop game-winning dunk on the Bills Mafia, and you get right back to work because you have a short week and a game in Seattle tonight. That's right. TNF, Thursday Night Football. Cards v. Hawks. Kyler v. Russ. Ice v. the scrote.
Ice.
Hell yes.
Hell yes.
Man, I love this game so much. A star-studded event. Big-time division and playoff implications on the line. What a massive matchup in Week 11. A heated race in the NFL's best division. The Cards, the Hawks, the Rams. All sitting atop at 6-3. And yes, while there are still games to be played, do not think that this one won't factor in. It will. Look at the schedules. Look at the head-to-heads. This is a really, really critical game. The Hail Mary technically awarded the Cards first place, but that could be short-lived if they do not show tonight. And look at the Seahawks' schedule. It gets much easier. They've got three games against the NFC East. So what we have here are a couple of teams headed in opposite directions of late. The Cards have won 4 of their past 5. And they've done so in dramatic fashion. The Hawks, though, have lost 3 of their last 4. The Arizona offense has scored 30 or more in 5 straight. Russ's O had their worst performance of the season in Sunday's L against the Rams. And the last game, the first game between these two, last month, 37-34 in OT for the Cards. And that was a great, great game. But Seattle has not been the same since. Now, prior to that game, the Hawks were 5-0. Russ was historic. Like, he was on pace to break Pinky's single-season touchdown record. That kind of historic. But since then, he and the Hawks have not been the same at all. Including that game, Russ has thrown 9 TDs, but turned it over 10 times. Well, I shouldn't say the Hawks haven't been the same since that L. That's not fair or accurate. Their D has been ass all season, especially their pass defense. Consistently that. Russ, though, had been unbelievable for the first 5 games. Russ has been in a rut of late. Honestly, I'm not sure how many guys could do much better, though, than Russ, given the current situation. Yes, he's turning it over way too much. This guy knows that. But he's trying to create. He's desperate to create. He's had to press all season to make up for Pete's defense and the terrible line play and the injuries. Yes, the injuries are taking a major toll. Russ is pressing for good reason. Lots of good reasons. And yeah, I know that nobody wants to hear about the injuries. Nobody wants to hear about that, but the fact is Seattle is banged the hell up, especially in the backfield. Another reason why Russ is trying to do everything by himself. It seems like every time Russ is in the shotgun, he's got some new cat standing next to him. Since that Cards loss, he hasn't had Chris Carson. He hasn't had Carlos Hyde in the backfield. Now it looks like he might get Hyde back and maybe even Carson. Time will tell. I know this. They're a different team with Carson. They just are. When they get that guy back, look out. And they might need the jolt that they would get from getting that guy back. If they get that guy back, they might get back to being the NFL's best offense or close to it. Carson is that much of a difference maker. He's got a passion for blocking. Well, as he does, giving fantasy honks the hands outside of his crib. Remember that? Yeah, well, Nate Diaz stuff right there. The reason I'm going on about Carson, the guy's a hell of a runner. He absolutely will block, and that's a big deal too. The only problem is, though, this guy can't rush the passer. This guy can't tackle, and this guy can't cover. And neither can the Seahawk defense. And the injuries are not just on the offensive side of the ball. D-Hop lit that secondary up the first go-round, and he should get his again tonight. The Hawks are going to have to do without their 2 best corners, Shaquille Griffin and Quentin Dunbar. And no, wiseasses, Q's not riding shotgun to another party with DeAndre Baker this evening. This guy's hurt, legitimately. And that secondary is where Kyler got off the first time they played and where he's got to attack. I mean, he can beat them with his legs. There's always that. He can beat anybody with his legs. But the biggest advantage in this one is against their pass defense. Seattle actually is not that bad against the run, but they're really bad against the pass. Side note, and this is actually kind of funny. Cliff has gotten so much attention for his air raid offense, but since he's been in the desert, it's been more of a ground raid attack. The Baltimore Ravens do not have the best rushing attack in the NFL. Actually, the Cards do. Check the data. Anyway, tonight, Kyler, even though I know you can run it, even though I know the team can run it, man, put it up in the air. Throw it early and often. Can you tell I'm somewhat geek for this one? I'm usually the first guy to rush in and crack on TNF. Not this one. I'm all about this game. I could talk about this game for hours. We just don't have enough time because I've got Dana White coming up next. But I will never ever get tired of seeing or hearing this.
And it is. Is it caught? Is it caught? Oh my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it. He caught it for a touchdown with 1 second left. I can't believe it. You've got to be joking me. Hopkins reaches up with three defenders around him and pulls it in, and the Cardinals lead it 32-30 with a second left.
You can't cover Nuke. You're not going to be able to cover him. Throw the ball up. That's what Kyler Murray did. He extended the play with his legs. And just
sorry, Mafia. I just wanted to hear Gruce's uncle, Ron Wolfley, channel his inner Bill Walton one more time to get me even more fired up for tonight.
Hawks fan, Cards fan, who you got? Russ has never lost three straight NFL games in his career, but he could tonight. Kyler is doing next level things still. He is still the single most electric player in the NFL, and he's getting better every single week. So once again, who you got? I know who you got, Blake. So ice up the scrode.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
Change the drawers again. Head to your legendary Cards man cave soon, because we've got a game to play in a few hours. And an epic one. Let's do it. Let's get it.
You can't cover Nuke!
Such an important game. When we return, Dana White joins us. Always a good thing. Dana White on the other side of this break. But first up, I do have a sports update for you. Here it is. Here is Rich Ackerman. Good matchups both in college and in the NFL this weekend. Speaking of the NFL, I will be on the NFL today on CBS. 12 noon Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific on Sunday. Got my assignment from Drew Kalisky, but that could change between now and then. Make sure you check it out. Dana White is going to join me momentarily. In the meantime, dear Jim, the Seahawks pass defense is too lax. Signed, Costco's return policy. Nick in Westchester. I mean, no, honestly, Seattle against the pass is horrible. Like, worst in the NFL, horrible. You think maybe Cliff and Kyler might be able to take advantage of that? You think D-Hop might be able to take advantage of that? They're actually pretty good against the run, as I mentioned. Big, big game. It's hard to imagine Russ not pulling it together. It's hard to imagine Russ continuing to turn the ball over at the rate that he is. And when I say it's hard to imagine, what I'm really saying is there's no way he's going to keep doing that. Great, great matchup tonight. Romy, you have got to be kidding me. Regards, me, when Costco lets me return a desk lamp that I purchased 5 years ago. Geoff and Lincoln. I guess you dummies have found a new thread. You found something new to talk about. Good. Good for you. In the meantime, as promised, a conversation with the president of the UFC. We are talking MMA. UFC 255 is coming up. It's another good fight card. And if there's going to be a good fight card and it's going to be live at UFC Apex, then there's a pretty good chance. Perform? There's a pretty good chance I'm going to run down Dana White. So we are, there you go. Nate Diaz. You know, at some point, given that I'm such a huge fan of Nate Diaz, we should have Nate on the program. We've had a lot of guys, lots of guys representing that promotion, but never Nathan. Love Nate Diaz. One of my favorite fighters, but I've never had him on. I mentioned some of the matchups this weekend. Wisconsin and Northwestern is a great matchup. USC and Utah is an interesting matchup. And a great game tonight as well. Other stories of the day, Klay Thompson out for the entire year. Bad, bad break for him, for Golden State, for the NBA, for all of us. Yeah, the NBA draft last night, man, that was so weird. Joe Judge may or may not have gotten clocked by Mark Colombo. The Giants continue to say that. No, that's not what happened. He called him a very dirty word. So a lot of you online sleuths are trying to figure out what that word could be. I mean, how many words could it be? I think we have a pretty good idea what the three to four words might have been. If a guy got fired for calling another coach a word or a name, I got a pretty good idea what that is. Just as I wonder if that's why he got fired. You might say, I don't know, Rome, why don't you look at his face? That should tell you why he got fired. Either way, the Giants are in the news again, but for the wrong reasons. Yeah, I know, Giants fan. The team plays really hard, and there's a blue-collar mentality. Yeah, I've heard all this. What I'm here to tell you is there's a story involving an offensive line coach who allegedly knocked out the head coach and was fired on the spot for it. That is not a sign of how tough the head coach is. That's not a sign of the culture. That's not a sign of what he's trying to do and lead from the front. That is a sign of dysfunction. That's not a good sign. So tell yourself whatever you need to hear to get through it. Also, I mentioned Shane Bieber came on in hour number one. Shane Bieber played his college ball at UC Santa Barbara. He walked on at UCSB. He is the best pitcher in baseball right now. The 2020 American League Cy Young Award winner, a Triple Crown winner, a unanimous selection, and now a guy who's being mentioned in the same lines as Nolan Ryan, Sandy Koufax, and Johan Santana. And rightfully so. And he walked on in college. In case you missed that, that was back in hour number one. Packers linebacker Preston Smith came on. Packers Indy, big game this weekend. I think we should get a really good idea of where both of those teams stand. And yes, I'm going to pad a little bit to get to Dana White. The other interesting thing about Thursdays is Alvin DeLauro works from home. D-Rod, the 925, tweets, if you do get Nate Diaz on, it should be on the pod so we don't hear a bunch of bleeps. That's not going to be said. And my thing about Nate Diaz is I would take Nate Diaz however we get Nate Diaz. Like if I can get Nate Diaz on this show, I would do that. By the way, Ritt, that's not a bad way to go. You probably should look for Nate. Apparently, Ritt is one step ahead, as always. Yeah, Nate might be better suited for the pod where we can kind of do what we want to do. Because I got a feeling that Nate's not one of those guys that's going to make the adjustment and think, like, Nate's smart. Nate's really smart. But I don't think that Nate's going to think to himself, all right, what's the room? Like, I got to know my room. Am I on terrestrial radio? Am I on satellite radio? Am I on a podcast? I think Nate's just going to let it rip. That's the beauty of Nate Diaz. He's real. Nobody's more real than Nate. You know what? You're right. You're right, D-Rod. Nate should be on the podcast instead of this show. Wells in the 360 tweets, can you text James Kelly and find out what the best bet is for tonight's game? Thanks. I know this about the big head. I don't know where he's going with this. In fact, I'll put that light out right now. The big head light. Head, who you got tonight? I know him. Generally, he does not like to commit or decide unless it's a Friday segment until right before the game. Last line I saw for that game was 3 points, 3.5 points. And I efforted him and I found him. He is the UFC president. He is a friend of the program. UFC 255. Figueiredo and Perez, Saturday night, live at UFC Apex. It's on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Dana, good to have you back. How are you, Dana?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good, Dana. Hey, listen, really quickly, before I talk to you about UFC 255, how about a quick thought about UFC 254? Last time you and I talked, it was right before Khabib and Gaethje. When you look back on that night, what sticks out to you the most?
God, it was such a cool moment. Obviously, the fight, the way he won the fight, and you know, small arena in Abu Dhabi, not many people there, and everybody was standing on their feet, hanging on every word that he said. It was a pretty cool moment.
And Dana, I thought that the moment was amazing, but when you consider what Khabib went through emotionally in terms of the passing of his father, the physical challenge he faced in the build-up to that fight that the world did not know about, but we found out afterwards, what's it say about him that he didn't pull out of that fight?
He is, first of all, he's one of the most honorable guys I've ever dealt with, number one. Number two, you know, he's a total badass. The guy is One of the greatest of all time.
All right, so really quickly, he announced that he was retiring, and it made sense, but over the weekend it came out that he's still drug testing. Is there a part of you that expects him to fight again to get to 30-0?
I do. You said it best a minute ago. He was so emotional, after that fight with everything that he'd been through, especially the death of his father. But his father wanted him to go to 30-0, so I think he will.
So if he does, Dana, who would you like to see him fight?
I don't know. We're going to have to see how some of these fights play out. Obviously, McGregor signed his bout agreement today to fight Dustin Poirier. Gaethje is out there with possibly, who knows who Gaethje could fight next. I don't know who. We've got to see how all this thing plays out. Michael Chandler and possibly Tony Ferguson are going to fight.
Dana White's my guest. Dan, I'm going to ask you about UFC 255 in a minute, but you mentioned Conor. You and I have talked so many times about Conor. The news did break that agreement is done, but by the time they fight on January 23rd, it would have been more than a year since he fought Cowboy. Any idea what to expect from Conor against Poirier?
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, Poirier's wanted this fight for so long now, the rematch with Conor. He's a much better fighter than he was the first time that they fought. And Conor is always dangerous, From what I've seen from him on social media, it looks like he's in great shape. Looks like he's training hard. And even before this, he was training to do some type of charity bike event. So the guy's in shape.
Dana White's joining us. All right, so you follow up that massive card from UFC 254 with another huge one Saturday night, UFC 255. It's the first time, actually, in company history, the two flyweight championship bouts are going to headline the event. How hyped are you for that card?
Yeah, obviously, the two main events are awesome. Figueiredo is such a beast. This kid is a savage. Valentina Shevchenko is a savage. You got Mike Perry versus Tim Means on this card. Chukagian versus Cynthia Calvillo. Shogun, who was on the card. Brandon Moreno. Joaquin Buckley, who had that viral knockout a few weeks ago on Fight Island. The card is stacked from top to bottom.
All right, so you sound pretty hyped for it. Now, Figueiredo, he was defending his title against Alex Perez, coming off back-to-back wins over Benavidez. He won the rematch in the first round with a fight that you described, quote, as pure violence. What did he show you in that fight?
Yeah, no, this kid is the real deal. He goes in there and he tries to hurt you, and he has wins over, some of the best in the world. He proved who he was in that Benavidez fight, man, and I'm excited to see him. This is one of those fights. Figueiredo is one of those guys. Rogan called me the other day and was just telling me how pumped he was for this fight. When there's good fights with guys that we know are going to be, as you said, violent, me and Rogan get excited and talk on the phone for about an hour.
Pure violence. You mentioned Shevchenko. Watching the UFC 255 embedded videos, she seems really relaxed, really laid back, kind of kick back. But does she throw the switch? Like, how scary is it when she gets into the cage?
Yeah, that's exactly what she's like. When you meet her, she's one of the sweetest human beings on the planet. But when she gets inside that octagon, man, she's an absolute killer.
What about the entire family, in fact?
Yeah, exactly. Her sister's on the card. Her sister's on the card. She's fighting Ariana Lipsky, which should be another great fight.
And on top of that, their mother is a black belt in Taekwondo, right? And she fought. So how impressive is that family?
That I didn't know. Yeah, that's pretty badass.
That's what I'm here for, Dana, to teach, to drop knowledge. Dana, I know you're a boxing guy at heart as well. I got to ask you really quickly. Did you check out Bud Crawford beating Kell Brook? And better yet, did you see your guy, Bob Arum, complaining after the fact that Crawford does not do enough to promote himself and, in fact, has cost him enough money the last few fights by not promoting himself that he could have bought a house in Beverly Hills? Did you see those comments?
I can't stand that guy. The language I want to use when we talk about Bob Arum, I can't on your radio show, but I imagine this: the kid signs a deal with a promoter. Bob Arum is supposed to be his promoter. It's your job to sell that kid. You did a deal with him and agreed on an amount of money, and it's your job to go out and sell him. So you're mad because this kid goes out and does what he does. He's the pound for pound best fighter in the world. And he doesn't sell himself. No, that's your job, Bob. Listen, Bob Arum is done. He's done. I heard his. What's interesting is his little stepson, Todd, usually keeps his big mouth shut, but I heard he's been talking smack lately too. These guys are freaking out because it's over, man. It's over. And you know, there was a time when me and the Fertittas bought this business, and Bob Arum came out with a quote about how ridiculous the UFC was, and that he heard the Fertittas were losing, I quote, oodles and oodles of money. Well, I'm hearing that Bob Arum's losing oodles and oodles of money now, too, so I get why he's so angry.
UFC 255 is Saturday, live at UFC Apex on ESPN+. It is pay-per-view. He is UFC president, friend of the program. He is Dana White, and he just closed the show for us. Dana, I appreciate you. Great to have you back on. Thanks so much. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks, buddy. You too.
You got it, Dana. Thank you very much. See, now Dana knows the room. Dana knows his room. He checked himself hard. Like, I can't use the words on your radio program that I want to use to describe how I feel about this. My thanks to Dana White and Preston Smith and Shane Bieber, the XR4TI, the short staff. Good job, Ritt. Way to go.
Game on.
Good job, Adam Hawk. Now we're done. Have a Thursday. It's going to be a great game tonight. We will be all over that game tomorrow. Come with your best stuff tomorrow. Finish strong. Leave it all out there. See you then. We're out.